Welcome to the Big Honker Podcast. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Listen, it is turkey season just right around the corner. And what a better way to start it than getting a new turkey call? Head over to PacificCustomCalls.com. They have a promo code, BHP25. You can save 25% off at checkout, whatever you order, whether waterfowl, apparel, turkey calls, 25% off. Use our promo code BHP25. Great guys up there. In Idaho, Post Falls, Idaho.
Having their turkey rodeo.
Turkey rodeo's coming up now. I think signups are over now, but if you're signed up, good luck there this year. And turkey rodeo's coming up. A lot of cool things going on up there with Pacific Calls. So check them out if you're in the market for a new call. Ducks, geese, cranes, turkeys, whatever you're wanting, they got something for you. PacificCustomCalls.com.
Official call of Stanfield Hunting Outfitters.
That is right. Next, we are also brought to you by Hemp Hill Farms. They also have a promo code, BHP. It is for 20% off of your next online order. CBD is the way to go.
Steve Barber told me he's got Thunder on him.
Really?
Yep. He's ordered him for Thunder and going to order him some. He's having some shoulder issues. Going to do the roll-on. I highly, highly recommend as you get older, feet hurt at nighttime. Joints, bones, aches, we're old. All them days of playing slow pitch softball are going to catch up to your ass when you get in your 50s. Get you some relief and call the Hemp Hill Farms. I use it every night. I take a gummy to sleep every night. Knocks me out for about 6 hours. Wake up without a hangover. It's great stuff.
Hemp Hill Farm, that's farm with a PH.com. Next, we are brought to you by Shin Gear. They have the best stuff that's on the market right now. Their waders are phenomenal. Jackets are amazing. I wear their bibs every single day. I cannot say enough good things about Shin Gear. They're great people to work with. They have an incredible warranty that they'll stand behind their products for as long as you stand in them. Customer service is at the forefront of all the products with Shin Gear. Amazing people. They got a Shin Fest coming up again in October. They're going to do the movie festival again, so make plans now. Memphis, October. It's going to be a great time. Hopefully, we're going to be there this year. Whatever you're needing, shingear.com is where to look for that. Great people. And their products are phenomenal. Next, we're brought to you by the Looking Glass Podcast. Rebel and Logan put on a great show. You can head over to their Patreon account, get signed up for there. They have a new episode every single week, and they have a bourbon review there. So if you're a bourbon drinker, that's your fancy, then check them out. Looking Glass Podcast. Logan's a great guy. I love
bourbon experts.
They are connoisseurs, one would say. But like I said, just go over to their Patreon, type in the Looking Glass Podcast. It'll pop up, and then you can just... Pay to play, boys and girls, pay to play. That's at patreon.com and go from there. Next, we are brought to you by Lucky Duck. They've got a lot of amazing stuff for waterfowl, but one of their kind of hidden gems is their varmint calls. Turkey, like I said, turkey season's coming up. To have big turkey numbers, you need to have a low predator number.
Get rid of them coons.
Get rid of coons, get rid of coyotes. They've got an amazing e-caller out there that you can call all these different things in. I say it every year, I'm going to shoot a lot of raccoons, and I never do. But this year, it's for certain. I'm going to. Right now, you can enjoy 20% off the Roughneck e-collar. That sale ends April 7th. Put your email in there for all the details. But
you got nothing to do in the spring. Once you shoot your turkeys, you're done. Go ahead and shoot you some coons.
Might as well.
Clean them up. Clear them out. Help your quail and your turkey numbers. Help everything out. Go kill some coons.
They've also got amazing A-frames. We hunt out of them every single day. Great spinners, obviously. 5-star crash test rated kennel, luckyduck.com. Next, we are brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. It's the way I start my day every single day here at the Big Honker Lodge with the Missouri Boat Ride blend. They've gotten amazing different blends that are all phenomenal. They've got First Flight, Suns Up, Guns Up, Cinnamon Teal, Morning Wood, and they've also got a cold brew. Warmer days are coming. I like my afternoon coffee. I like it cold. So they've got the King Rider cold brew right now. Head over to their website right now, dirty.coffee.com. You can get on the loyalty program and it'll just ship straight to your door. You won't even have to go back.
So they have the coolest swag in the business.
They really do. Really do. Jay and Buck are also great guys. So if you see them at a hunting show, stock up there. And if not, dirty.coffee.com and it'll go straight to your door.
And they got the K-Cup cartridges now also.
Yeah. So if you're not a grounds kind of guy, they got K-Cups. So got whatever you need. Next, we're brought to you by Dive Bomb Industries. They've changed the silhouette game. They're now into the floater line. They've got different floaters out there right now. They're kind of a one-stop shop, whatever you need. They've got gun cases. Their apparel is really, really good too. Full body snows. I know a lot of people are still shooting snow geese, which is crazy to me, but they do have a good looking full body snow goose decoy out there.
Apparel sale right now, 35% off top selling hoodies, shirts, hats, and youth gear. Limited quantity, so get on diebombindustries.com. Also, Squad Fest is when July.
It's coming up late July. I'm not for sure the date. It's around the 20th, 19th, 20th, somewhere around there. So if you're in the St. Louis area, come for the third or fourth annual Squad Fest. It's always a great time.
Fourth annual.
A lot of really good contest callers out there, and the beer goes down extra good in St. Louis. So we'll see you there. We'll be there and look forward to seeing you. Next, we're brought to you by Brit Labs, Double T British Kennel. Corey has some of the best British labs on the market right now. They're incredible civilians, and they are a monster out in the field. Hunted with them the last couple of years, and they're great, great dogs, and they're sweet as can be. That's the crazy thing. I mean, they're workhorses out in the field, and then you get them at home, and they're just a big old love bug. So
great pets.
If you're needing a new puppy, a started dog, or a finished dog, contact Corey, BritLabs.com, and he can y'all can all go from there. But I know a lot of people have been getting his dogs and not hearing anything but great reviews. So check him out, BritLabs.com. Also, we're brought to you by Boss Shot Shells. Bismuth is back in style, but they're not stopping at Bismuth. They will have a steel line out there, the Steel Legacy line, for people that are only want to shoot steel. If that's your jam, then they can help you.
Shooting ducks under 30 yards, it's cheaper, great knockdown power, got that same Boss technology in it, and that's BossShotShells.com. You can't go wrong with Boss. It only takes one.
That's right. Copper-plated Bismuth is my jam. They got their TSS turkey line out there, the Boss Tom, and let me tell you, it puts a hurting on them. So check them out at Boss Shot Shells.
Call them up, order some Stanfield 9s for dove season. Dove season is only like 5 months away.
It's not far.
5 months away from today, we'll be shooting doves. Holler at them, get you some Stanfield 9s. Yes, shot shells are going to be harder to get this year. Stock up now.
Yes, the shortage is going to be real. So if you wait till the last minute, there's a good chance that you won't have shotgun shells. So head over to Boss Shot Shells right now and get what you're going to need for this coming waterfowl season. Because if you wait too long, you're going to be sad. I promise you. Next, we're brought to you by MLR Graphics out there in Breckenridge, Texas. They make all of our swag out here at Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. They can do you too. If you're managing a baseball team or, you know, looking ahead, you got football coming up. No job too big or too small. Michael is a great guy, and he takes very, very good care of us.
Good Christian man, great family guy. Reach out to mlrgraphics.com in Breckenridge, Texas. They can ship to you. Like I said, they take care. All of our stuff comes from MLR. I highly recommend them.
Next, we are brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. No organization has done more to put ducks back into the sky. Figure out a way that you can get involved, whether it be starting a chapter, joining a chapter. Ducks Unlimited is the leader in wetland conservation. No organization does more to help the hunters out than Ducks Unlimited, and we're proud to be associated with them. So figure out a way to get involved. Ducks.org. Next, we are brought to you by Mossberg. Tell you what, that waterfowl gun that they got, it's Matty Robertson approved. It's Andy Shaver approved. It's what I shoot out here all winter long, and it's a workhorse. Shot it for two seasons now, never had a hiccup. You can check them out, Mossberg.com. If you're at a sporting goods store and you see a Mossberg behind the counter, put it to your shoulder. Give it a test run. They've done a lot of really, really good things with the 940 waterfowl gun. Love it. Check it out. Also, we're brought to you by Mallard Bay. They are the Airbnb of booking waterfowl hunts or hunts in general. If you are trying to book a hunt this coming season, no matter where, they've made it easier than ever before. You can literally type in what you're looking for, where, price range, and you'll have all these results pop up right there. So they have a vetting system with their outfitters, so you don't have to worry about getting your money taken. Head over to mallardbay.com to book your next hunting adventure.
And if you're an outfitter, I also highly recommend Mallard Bay for selling your hunts.
You get a lot of eyes on you.
Yes, a lot of eyes. You'll fill in your dates. So you guys out there that are starting businesses or established and you're having some trouble selling certain times, reach out to Mallard Bay and talk to them. White and them guys out there are great dudes.
Next, we're brought to you by Alpha Outdoor Specialties, maker of the Stanfield Stool. It has saved my back and my butt all waterfowl season. No more bucket butt for me. Set the Stanfield Stool in these A-frames, and I'm telling you what, it's the cat's meow. I'm comfortable all day, never got up achy or anything like that. Usually towards the end of the year, I'm feeling my age. Not anymore in the Stanfield Stool. They've also got a blind caddy out there. You can set it up on your A-frame, keep your coffee, your shotgun shells, calls all organized, keep it all right in front of you. They're ahead of the time. You can order all of this cool stuff at OutdoorSpecialties.com, and it'll ship straight to your door. Last but certainly not least, Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. Dove season's coming up. like Jeff said, not too far away. We're filling in. So if you're wanting a dove hunting date, weekends are probably all gone, but we got some weekdays available.
I have opening day of dove season is a September 1st is on a Sunday this year. I've got a special for Sunday, Monday. It's $400. Come in on Saturday night, have dinner Saturday night, breakfast, three meals on Sunday, hunt morning, afternoon, spend the night again, have breakfast and a hunt on Monday morning, which is Labor Day. It's $400 a person. I've got limited opportunity. I think I've got room for 16 people. That is all I got left for that opening day. If you're interested in it, holler at me pretty quick, 940-658-3172. Can do some corporate dove hunts during the week. Private groups, got to have at least 20 people. Book the entire lodge for $10,000 for 20 people. Do two mornings, two afternoons, lodging and meals. StanfieldHunting.com.
Thank you so much for listening to the Big Hunker Podcast. None of this would be possible without you great listeners. So we appreciate you. Love you. Bye. Watch for deer. Now I'm just thinking about, like, because if it was going through my microphone, none of the guests could hear the intro, could hear the music. They're probably like sitting there like, what the fuck are we waiting on?
Could be.
Big fuck up on my part. I've never checked it. It's one of those things, you set it and forget it. All right. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Now.
Boom! Then you wait till, weren't you supposed to say something there? You done fucked up the whole intro.
The whole Monday's already fucked up, so.
Live!
Not live either.
Well, we're not live, but in Studio A in the Big Empty of Knox City, Texas, I am Jeff Stanfield with the world famous Andy Shaver.
That's right.
With us today.
The worst turkey hunter on the planet. So I'm just going to give myself that title. So the worst turkey hunter ever.
You struck out again Sunday.
I did.
It sounds like you had a tough run in or something.
I did, man. Like, they just kicked my ass all. I had a good batting average with clients, but then I really wanted a bird this year, and I struck out. I sat too long sometimes. I fucking got up too early other times. Like, I'm just all over the board. I'm all over the board.
And your wife said Saturday, we had to go to a dance. Anyways, our guest, did I introduce our guest yet?
No, you did not. Very rude.
Yes, it was.
Very rude of you.
Carter Oliver, Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell.
What the hell did I say? I got that on
this stuff. We made it. We got Colin Farrell on, ladies
Dylan
and gentlemen.
Colin Farrell and Carter Oliver.
Yeah, I'll take it.
We made it.
Ain't he the one that's got the sex tape?
Yeah, do you, Dylan? I don't know. You got to tell us.
You know, I'll leave it at that.
There you go. I wouldn't call it a sex tape, just some home footage, but that's
right,
okay.
Right, yeah.
That's right.
The boys from Memphis, Tennessee and Shingear with us today. Before we get into them, Andy's wife, we had to go to dance recital Saturday. My granddaughter was in a dance recital. For those men that haven't done it, you're blessed because it's an hour and a half and you get to see your granddaughter for about 90 seconds of that hour and a half and you got to watch somebody else's granddaughters and daughters dance and it's not my cup of tea. My 5-year-old grandson said, "This isn't my cup of tea." 5 years old, boy, you're smart. Anyways, coming home,
brilliant for us.
Andy's wife told him, she goes, "Well, why don't you just shoot some hens so we can get some turkey meat?" That's as much faith as she had, Andy. Shoot some hens. So I thought that was pretty funny.
She asked, she said, "You can't shoot hens during spring." I was, "Can you?" I was like, "No, you can't." But I'm to the level of frustration. I might get a little itchy trigger finger. Like, I had a hen. I've never had this before. So I was sitting there last week, and I could hear a hen in the back. And then like I heard like this weird gobble type thing. And then that little bitch came up. She was all puffed up. She was like strutting up to my hen decoy. Like she like did a dance around it. And I don't know. Even the hens are getting a little ballsy around me. She didn't have a boyfriend.
No way.
Yeah, I've never seen it
before. Gotta let Carter tell his story this year. He got him one. I'll leave it at that. But I'm going to pull up the picture while he's talking about it.
Yeah, we went. So I went opening day in Tennessee. We got a farm up in West Tennessee. Called one in for my buddy. Never killed one before. So. Got one there, and then me and Dylan went a few weeks ago, and we drove around till we heard a gobble, went in there, got a hot one going. It came up perfect, had to run her to the plug, but we got him.
He shot it
But we were on about a 700-acre block, and I'm pretty sure the only water puddle in that whole block was about the size of this room, and that turkey flopped right, right in the water.
Oh, my God. That is the ugly.
It's like somebody shot a cormorant.
It landed right in that puddle and just was flopping on its back. Just in the we're like, oh, great. I mean, it's hilarious.
The pictures people get of Easterns after, I don't know if it's like such heavy dew where a lot of people shoot Easterns, but like there are some hideous photographs.
Well, you know what? Oh, yeah. You guys are with Shin Gear. What a perfect photo op. Waders and a turkey in the water.
No doubt. No doubt. It would have been great.
There's very seldom a picture of an Eastern shot that I'm like, oh, that's a good looking Easter. Like they're always fucking wet and look like a wet dog and stringy looking.
Well, it looked like a rat.
Yeah, it was
past the dog stage.
How far was it when you rang out your first shot?
Oh, I don't know, 30 close, yeah. If that.
You know. But it happens.
Shooting through stuff, and I'm convinced now that I can't shoot with a bead. I just need a red dot. Yeah. So we may try that one out next year.
Just really start cheating.
Is turkey season closed everywhere now, just about?
No, northern states are still going. It's closed, too.
Tennessee is closed.
Tennessee stays open for like half the year. It's crazy.
But it's hot as all get out and just miserable. If you don't kill one right off the limb, it's going to get hot and miserable quick.
Right. I'm going to go one more time. I'm going to go on Wednesday, I think. I've always wanted to try to kill one on my birthday. So that's the only time I'm getting out the rest of the year. I'm going to try to send it.
We've got mosquitoes now that could legitimately, probably, as Ron would say, they could stand flat-footed and fuck the full-grown turkey that I'm going after. Like, that's how big these mosquitoes are. They are dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Like, you lose a...
I've got a couple times from skeeters and just left. Mm-hmm.
Are y'all wet in Memphis and Stuttgart area like we are here? I mean, Texas and Oklahoma, Southwest Oklahoma and Texas, we are wet, wet, wet. We had another 2 inches of rain yesterday.
Yeah. It's been all last week.
It's been every other couple of days, it's raining pretty good here. But we need
it. So, no, we're the same. We never pass up rain.
Still short. On the average, we're still short.
Yeah.
Saturday, I went out and struck him up, and I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Like, he was hot. Like, he was answering every single time. And then I see him about 100 yards, and he's got three hens with him. I'm like, well, I'm fucked. Like, there's nothing I can do. Like, it's over with. Had the dance recital. Like, normally, I would just come back in a couple hours and try to hit him again, but we had that dance recital that we were lucky enough to go to because, Jeff, it's a privilege to go watch your granddaughter.
It is.
Don't act all pissy.
I wasn't pissy about it.
So I didn't get to hunt Saturday afternoon like I normally would have, knowing that it was last weekend. And then yesterday was Mother's Day. So I went out first thing, gobbling on the limb, and then hens took him the opposite direction, and then a thunderstorm hit. So that's how I ended my turkey season.
Very nice. Well,
with a whimper, not with a bang.
When's their luck next year?
Yep.
It's been a couple years since I've shot a bird. I've figured it up. It's been a while.
Well, I'm not going to come out of retirement and do it.
It's been a while.
Y'all don't really travel at all, do you?
Not really. States. Not really. I really, really, I enjoy turkey season, and I like doing it in my backyard, So don't really travel a whole lot.
And we don't do a lot of clients. We'll run 4 to 6 guys, and that's it. We just don't do a lot of turkey hunting. I'm not going to jack with it. Andy's got other stuff going on, and about 6 guys is about all we're going to hunt. We had a great season with clients. Andy just didn't do shit for himself.
And that's the way it should be. Not in it for myself.
So I want to talk to you Shin boys about something. First of all, y'all have the best product I've ever used for waders. No doubt. And the vest is the best vest I ever had. Wear it all the time. I also have a backpack of yours that I absolutely love. It's got more freaking pockets and shit in it. What is on those backpacks, what is a cubic space available in that thing? Because I can put more shit in it than I could ever carry.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's a bunch.
40-foot container.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, it should have Chinese Hong Kong fucking numbers on it and come over in a boat. You can store everything in that sucker.
Yeah.
And
it had a lot of good feedback on the backpack for sure.
And those don't come out again until July, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, y'all did a limited run on those last year, right?
Yeah, those are underground.
Yeah, bags. Only underground. That's kind of what we do, kind of introduce it to underground and then, bring it back for public basically the next year. So
this year it'll be for mass consumption?
That's right, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, Jeff's always...
We'll change it a little bit. Underground gives us feedback, and we change a few things on it and make it best as we can and sell it live.
My only feedback, I have a ton of our customers use shin gear now. I see it all the time up here. The only feedback that I get is y'all need more Fat Boy stuff. Because there are a lot of three biscuit eaters that wear shin, and they need some more room in there. That's the only thing I ever had. Is, boy, they need Fat Boy sizes, more Fat Boy sizes.
Well, that belt's stretchy around them waiters.
Yes. Yeah,
called a buffet belt.
Yes.
Buffet belt. We got a few, we got some bigger sizes coming in some things this year too. So,
yeah. And when, another thing a lot of people don't know is we do custom sizing, you know, so if there is some bigger sizes needed, like we can do a custom. It takes a little longer, but yeah, it's just not something that's known too well, but we do do it. So we can go up to what, 5X, something like that.
5X
and size 16 boot.
I'm going to say this. If you're a 5X and a 16 boot, like if you fall in the water, you're fucked. So like just have a buddy to throw the shit out there. We're not pulling your big ass out of the water if you fall over. 16, that's like pulling Shaq out of the ocean. It ain't gonna fucking happen.
Shaq's not fat though. He's just a big boy.
Well, if he gets in trouble, if he gets stuck in the mud, we're all in trouble.
I'm a fat boy and I can outswim your ass any day.
Not in the mud.
Well, I can.
You're not a mudder like me. I'm a mudder. My mudder was a mudder.
My favorite shin gear product that I have, and I wear it all, is my Scout boots.
Oh yeah,
I wore two sets of those out. Basically, I didn't wear them out. I just wear them. We were on the East Coast, me and Michelle, in October last year, and it was rainy and cool. I wore Scout boots every single day, and I bet I walked 10 miles a day in them suckers. Feet didn't hurt. Okay. No different wearing Nikes. They're so comfortable.
Well, let me know when you wear them out, because I'd love to know. I don't think anybody's worn them out yet, honestly.
No, I didn't wear them out. I've just wore the piss out of them, but I don't know how many. I wish I had a tag on them to how many miles I've walked in them, because I literally, as soon as I quit wearing shorts. Now, I have worn them suckers with shorts before, too, on a rainy day. I'm not going to lie. But I wear them things from October 1st until almost now. As soon as I go to shorts, I go to wearing tennis shoes. Or boat shoes that I wear, but I wear them all winter long. That's all I wear at the lodge. They're so comfortable, and they're perfect for getting in and out of your truck in the mud and sand. I wouldn't get caught dead wearing a pair of fucking Crocs, but I will wear them Scout boots anywhere.
They're popular. It's kind of inspired us to kickstart some things with footwear and. From the wader to the Scout boot, you know, and the knee boots in between. I mean, all of them have good feedback, and I think we're on to something. So the customers inspired us, you know, to start working on some more footwear.
Are we gonna have some tennis shoes coming?
Tennis shoes aren't in the works yet, but you never know.
If y'all have any cool color combos you want to see, just shoot them our way, because we're always looking to make some new cool colors in those boots.
I sent Jeff a picture. My wife got her ladies redone this year in January, and
where are we going with this?
I'm
going
to tell them this story. So before they took her into surgery, the anesthetist come in, and I talked to him, and he's wearing some patchwork leather boots. He's an old timer, and the young guy next to him had a pair of little rubber boots on. I go, what kind of boots are those? And it was some people that just make boots that they wear in surgery. And I had on my Scout boots. I said, this is what you need to do. He goes, another doctor wears those. I said, it's the best brand you ever did. So I gave him the information. But I sent Jeff a picture of the lady doctor was wearing a set of them too, but they weren't shins. They were something else. I told him, I said, man, you got to get these doctors to wear in your shit. Unlimited amount of surgery.
They're getting in the medical world. Yeah. I'll tell you what was cool. I don't know if y'all watch golf or follow the Masters or anything, but – you know how Masters Week on their Instagram, I mean, they're posting 20, 30 times a day. And there was one of the grounds crews that had the Scout boots on that was pushing the, you know, whatever he was pushing across the green at 5 o'clock that morning.
Oh, that's badass.
We all thought that was super cool.
My boy Chandler Phillips is a shin guy. He's a PGA touring guy. Yes. Good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm. We saw him. Yeah, that's awesome. I think we're going to change that color to Masters Green on the side instead of olive.
Oh, that would be cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, looky there. See
what's happening now?
change it to Master's Green.
Oh, that'd be badass.
Olive. Yeah.
There we go. See, this is how products come out, Jeff. You just sit in the room, you just brainstorm, and then all of a sudden you got a new revolutionary product.
I tried to get fat boy sizes and you made fun of it.
No, they've already got fat boy sizes. I'm just saying that it's not feasible.
Yeah, it is too. Fat guys need to be saved also.
Just stay on the bank. Stay on the bank, get a skinny friend. You're causing more disruption.
That's the Blake Poppy method up here. Big Blake that works for us. That's a bitch ain't never had fucking pair of waders in his life. He always leaves them in Nebraska before he gets here.
And he's got a pair of shin waders. He's got them in the original Bottomland.
Yep.
But beautiful.
Yeah.
Fucker. Oh, they're in Nebraska. I forgot them. Yeah, right. Give me a break. You just knew the skinny guy was going to have his waders today. And we're fine with that. Listen, if it saves us from having a heart attack out there, skinny guys are okay with it.
Good. I'm glad so. No doubt. So tell us about Stuttgart. We got a store opening. Is it opening in June or July?
November.
Yeah. Oh, November. Is it going to be the duck calling that weekend?
It's going to be after.
Right before the Worlds.
Or yeah, before.
Yeah.
But we're expecting, you know, first part of November. But you know how building goes and all that. There's delays and all that. Right now it's ahead of schedule, but right now we're just going to stick with November, but hopefully around that second week of November is what we're shooting for.
Okay.
November
9th. If I'm a waterfowl hunter and I don't go to Stuttgart, if I go in shin, is there going to be other stuff to buy besides just shin products? Or you can have other company stuff in there or just your stuff? Or can we talk about that?
Yeah, we will. Yeah, we're going to bring in a few other direct brands. You know, we're working with a few shotgun shell companies, one including Boss. We're going to work with them and have their shells. You know, as you all know, you can't really buy those at any retail shop. So I think that's going to be super cool. I love those people at Boss. They do great work, make a great shell. Probably going to bring in like Gunner Kennels and a few other smaller brands. So it'll be a, for the most part, one-stop shop for any waterfowl hunter in that area. And then also, you know, a good spot to just sit down, have a beer and hang out. So,
yeah, that's what we wanted. It's going to be more of a hangout, you know, than anything, experience to not feel like, trying to just put all this stuff in front of your face. I mean, that's not what we want. You know, we want a place to hang out with everybody on the same page and yeah, drink a couple beers while you're at it. So there's going to be a fireplace in there, and it's going to be a cool place.
How's this going to work out for y'all? Is there going to be people from the Memphis crew that are in Memphis right now? Are they going to be going to Stuttgart, or what's this going to look like?
We'll probably hop around. Like during the, you know, duck season, I may go over there a few days a week, just kind of drive over during the day and help out. But we've got people that are from that area and also moving to that area that are going to be working in that store year-round. But yeah. Also during, you know, obviously duck season, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, for the most part, it's going to be kind of a new crew over there, but we're all going to be over there at some point one way or another.
But the store will be open year round.
Yeah, that's right.
How long has this been in the works?
Shoot, a while. I mean, I'd say the last couple of years we've been talking about it, and it's kind of finally happening now. So, been working on it a while.
So it's kind of just this little dream on the whiteboard, and it's like, hey, one day we want a store in Stuttgart.
Yeah, and you know, the biggest thing was like the traffic that we get here in Memphis, and then, you know, Stuttgart being where we want to be and stuff. You know, that's just somewhere we got to be, and that was kind of the thought of it. It was Memphis being so popular and how many people we see in here. It's like, man, we got to be where everybody's at. So,
that's like while I'm actually sharing an office with Dylan right now because we're renovating our Memphis showroom, opening it up, you know, releasing new products, bunch of new SKUs coming. So we're opening that showroom up and just continually growing. I mean, it's been wild. So,
It's basically like Monopoly over here. It's like we started with this little one over here, and now we've got all the way down to Subway. we're about to take over Subway, I'm pretty sure. we're flip flopping right now. Like he said, we're over here now, and then you know once that gets done, people will spread out. Yeah, we've got this whole strip over here, pretty much taken.
I don't know what the sales are like nationally All I know about is what we see here at the lodge. And we've got a pretty good thumb on what's going on because we have so many customers through here, as much as any waterfowl outfitter I know of anywhere in the world. And we see a lot more shin stuff every year. I see hats on guys. I see shirts on guys. I see t-shirts. I was in Dallas and I saw two kids wearing shin t-shirts the other day. And you see more and more of that. Now, at the lodge, we get a lot of, we expose shin a lot to a lot of things. So you get a lot more people doing that. But it seems like it's really, really taken off nationally. And y'all sales are just, y'all are killing it. And y'all have got such a great product. And it's good to see growth. But y'all have definitely revolutionized something that's been around forever, a waiter, and made it something that's comfortable. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I would say the last year has been big on that kind of thing. We're really starting to see it take off everywhere, not just kind of locally around us and, you know, the southern part of the world, but now it's really, like, shoot, California is one of, you know, our biggest states that we sell to, and then it's really starting to go Midwest and all up, and so it's starting to become everywhere. It's cool. It's exciting.
Yeah, I would say, like, boat ramps too. I mean, we hunt public ground a lot, and just pulling up to boat ramps this past season, it was like, wow.
Yeah, this past
we didn't see this last year, the year before. It's like, okay, this is taking off.
So, yeah, this last year was,
yeah,
it was a big difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, we look at the boat ramp and you just be like, wow.
We're making it. We're making inroads. So yeah. Tell us about, you got the film festival coming up. Dylan, are you going to win that again this year, or is somebody outside of Shin going to win that this time?
No, I'm not doing one this year. So. that's happening again, and it's going to be even bigger. So we've got Jordan Davis involved, which is really cool. And then we've actually got some more artists that were kind of slowly released. He's kind of gathering up a crew for us. So who knows who that'll end up being, but we'll end up having a few more, kind of be the same format. You know, we have 5 films instead of 6 last year. We'll do auction items, kind of do the whole thing. It's just going to be a lot bigger deal. I think we're expecting, 5,000 people this year versus 1,200 last year. I mean,
We already have the same VIP tables that we had last year already sold. So it's probably going to be double the VIP section, and then, you know, general admission. Is probably going to show up for Jordan and the films as well. So we're expecting a big crowd, and I think it's going to be just a lot of fun. I mean, it was a lot of fun last year, but now we kind of know, you know, the deal and how to get it running and everything. So it's going to be a good time.
What weekend is that?
October 26th is the day of that. So basically the same weekend it was, just different date.
Andy will be going this year. We didn't get to go last year. We were filming in Canada, and we landed like on Friday of it. It had come back. We've been in Canada for basically 10 days, but Andy's going to go this year. We've got a bunch of dove hunters that weekend here, but
y'all did a podcast there?
I mean, we'd have to have Jeff there.
We'll have to see if we can make it run. We've got dove hunting that weekend. Usually we don't do anything that weekend. If we've got like 40, we got a big corporate dove hunt that weekend. I may have to be here, but if we come up there and do a podcast, if y'all got a place for us to do a podcast, then me and Andy could both make it, and we could work it out here. And it just might be just me and Andy there. Because I would like to go. I would love to see
it. I was bummed last year when I didn't get to go. Was that, what was it? I mean, it's got to be nerve wracking as hell. Like year one, we don't really know what to expect, and we got a shitload of people coming. Is that basically safe to say that's kind of how it was?
I think the biggest thing I was watching was the weather.
Yeah.
Outside event, man, if it rains, that's the only thing.
You're out of luck.
It's a badass venue, but if it rains, I'm not sure what's going to happen. So,
you better bring your Hydrolock.
That's right.
That's all I got to tell you.
Yeah. I talked to a couple guys that were there, and I mean, they're all going back this year, so. I mean, obviously it was a success, especially if you're going from what you said, 1,200 last year, you thinking 5,000 this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're hoping. You know, who knows what happens, but we're kind of going off a VIP section and doubling that, and then, you know, a couple thousand for general admission, I would think, to see Jordan Davis and whoever he brings, because, you know, it's at a place that does a bunch of concerts and they sell out, and you know, so everybody knows about that place as being kind of a music hangout, and think once we release general admission, we'll kind of see the interest and what that looks like. Probably be able to tell more.
Right.
Now, I'm going to bring up something. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about this, but I'm going to bring it up. We can take this out if not. But Jeff had talked to me one time about y'all were going to do a cribs type deal with waterfowl lodges and hunters. Is that in the works, or is that because he reached out to me about that?
That's right.
I never had heard nothing back, so I didn't know.
Yep, that's right. So, we'll probably do, lodges, outfitters type of thing for a year, and it's probably going to be this year. Last year we did. First year we did four, and then we did four this past year. And so we kind of did smaller camps and stuff like that. And I think we'll do an outfit or a lodge one this year. So yeah, I'll be reaching out. We'll be planning that pretty soon.
I'm going to tell you a really good time to be here, and it may be not good for y'all.
Nope. That's what I rely on. Tell me when.
We're doing a hunt on November 18th, 19th, and 20th here, where we're going to have all kinds of, Chandler Phillips will probably be here then. Bryce Elder, that pitches for the Braves, will be here. We're going to do a hunt those 3 days, and that is a prime time to hunt. And what we're doing it's a Boss Steel Reserve hunt is what it is. We're just because everybody's going to shoot Boss Steel Reserve on the shoot, and we're going to be here filming all that stuff. But that would be a really good time to be here. And I don't know if that works in your schedule. We can work y'all out in any time. That's not a problem at all. But November hunting is usually phenomenal. We got a lot of water this year, so I think that January we're also going to be shooting a lot of ducks.
Okay, cool.
That can change.
Yeah. That'd be badass.
But we would love to have you guys here.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. So how did you guys, how'd y'all start with Shin? Was it like an intern thing? Did Jeff know you guys? Like where was y'all's initial breakthrough into this company?
There you go. Yeah, so I, out of college, I got an agriculture degree, and I went and worked for a seed company right out of college. It was under a private equity that owned Buck Garner and Rolling Thunder at the time. So I was kind of like in the industry helping tune calls for Buck Garner and Rolling Thunder. And my boss there at the time knew Field and Jeff Jones. And so when they started it up, they needed somebody to come help ship waders and everything. And really at the time it was just waders and wader pants. So I got a call from Field one day, and he said, hey, you want to come hop on board with us here at Shin? It's a new company. We're making a high-end wader, and which I'd heard about before, but said, yeah, let's give it a try and go for it. So I came over here. It was only me and Morgan at the time, which is our head of customer service now. So I was in the back shipping waders out of a small warehouse compared to what we have now, and now we're here. So it's been good. I now kind of handle the relationship with our conservation partners like Ducks Unlimited and Delta Waterfowl and different partners like that. And then I also handle all of our outside sales, trade shows and different things, pop-up shops and stuff like that. So
at the very beginning, how many orders were you putting out? Like very beginning,
a day, probably peak season, which would be like October to end of January, I would say 40, 50. And now it's upwards of, 300, 400, 500. Yeah. So, I mean, it's
10X.
It's wild.
It's just, it is absolutely amazing. As the podcast started, the people that are our sponsors are guys that are basically all direct consumer type guys. And it's crazy the growth that all these companies have had. I mean, we started out with Boss on a phone call with Brandon Sarecki when they first started. We was with Dive Bomb right off the bat. We're with you guys right off the bat. And it's just crazy the growth in this industry. And it's got to be just the waterfowl industry. I don't think other industries have this kind of direct consumer type stuff that's been as successful as waterfowl hunting is. I mean,
yeah. I'd like to know compared to others, outside of the industry, but to me, the world's just changing, and it's just it's going from retail stores to ordering online and be able to do it that way. I mean, click of a button and you've got something in your hands, So
I went to,
and I'd say the biggest thing. I'd say the biggest thing about us, and I know Boss is the same way, is you can pick up the phone and talk to a person any time of the day. Email. You'll get a reply same day or next day. I mean, we take care and make sure we know our customers by name. So I think that's one of the biggest things.
Yeah, y'all's customer service is excellent. And and what you said about the way the world's changed, I went to Academy store the other day, and I do not like to shop at all. I mean, at all. I can't stand shopping. And I went to Academy the other day to pick up a freaking two lawn chairs to go to watch my granddaughter play softball. And I stood in line for 30 freaking minutes because they had one register open. They don't have a self-checkout. I hate self-checkouts anyways. Finally got used to using them, and Dollar General's take them all out. But we're at Academy, and it's 30 minutes to buy two freaking chairs. I was at the point that the chairs were $75 a piece. I'd have walked up and gave them $200 freaking dollars and just walked out. They'd make 30 extra dollars. Yeah. I have no time for that shit. And
yeah.
Andy told me, he goes, yeah, they don't want checkouts. And then another person
self-checkout.
They don't want self-checkouts, and they don't want you to be there. They want you to be inconvenient, so you'll buy online. The big stores don't want you buying stuff in their stores. They want to ship everything online. So I think we're going to eventually get to the point where there's not going to be much shopping at a damn brick and mortar store.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where it's going to end up being, but that seems to be the trend going.
Unless it's a specialty shop. Specialty shops people like going into, like women like going to high-end boutiques. The shin deal with the waiters and stuff. People are going to want to do that because that's something that interests you, you know, but people are not wanting to go into these mega stores no more. I mean, hell, even the grocery stores nowadays, my wife buys groceries on an app and I pick them up outside all the time.
Yeah. That's all we do. My wife and I, that's all we do. We do the Walmart pickup, drive to aisle number three, guys coming out with your shit, in and out.
Yeah. That's why Stuttgart's going to be cool though, because it's not just going to be, you know, strictly retail focused. Right. Products are going to be placed throughout the store, obviously, but you know, it's a spot for you to come in and tell us how your hunt was and just hang out for a little bit, regardless of if you buy anything or not. So that's what's going to be super cool about that location.
Well, specialty stores people like though, because that's an interest. Like, right. I could go into, I like antique stores. I don't hardly buy shit, but I like to walk and just look at stuff. Something like that doesn't bother me. But I ain't walking in a freaking Walmart. If you give me a $100 bill, I ain't walking into Walmart. I don't like to be in them. They stink. People are nasty. I don't want to be in one. I just don't like Walmart.
And I don't blame
you. And that's your God-given right, Jeff.
It is. Now, I don't like to buy groceries, but if I go to Central Market, do y'all have Central Markets up there? It's like HEB's flagship store. It's a high-end grocery store. I mean, they sell high-dollar shit.
No, we have stuff like that, you know, Whole Foods and Fresh Market and stuff like that, but not that specific
one. That's my kind of grocery store to walk into. You know, everybody's tattoos are spelled properly. It's a nice place. Not like a Walmart.
We did go to an HEB in Texas when we went down to turkey hunt last year. And oh my gosh, that place is incredible. Yeah.
Was it right it's by like the airport?
No, it was, I don't know. I don't remember. No, we were a long way from home. That's all I know.
South Lake has one called Central Market. It's HEB's high-end place. And it is a super cool shit. They have stuff there you don't have nowhere else. I mean, you can buy Wagyu ribeyes for $90 a pound or whatever. I mean, they have all kind, and they sell out because it's in a very expensive part of town. But it's nice store. And we got me and Michelle, that's one of our places we like to shop. But we're kind of bougie that way, or Michelle is. I can tell.
You just bought a fucking expensive watch before the show, and you know now you're telling us you're buying $90 ribeyes. Yeah, $90 ribeyes.
I didn't say I bought them. I said they have them.
Bougie as hell. Yeah. Did y'all do y'all's turkey hunt this year?
No, we did not. We just stuck around home and
Jeff
got ours here. Yeah, so
Jeff lives down there basically during May, don't he? In April and May at the deer lease or turkey lease?
He used to.
I think something came up this year. He didn't go. He was gonna, and then didn't end up going. So I don't know if he's still planning on to or what. But
that's a busy man.
Yeah, never know where he's at. So,
yep.
What a bummer, because that's one of his favorite things to do. He dipped out of what was it, the DU show early the last 2 years, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To go down there.
Yeah, the DUX.
What a bummer.
Y'all have got more people that work in y'all's booths at trade shows than anywhere, any outfitter or not outfitter, any. Whatever, I don't know what I would call it, a product, anybody I know of in my life. Y'all must have 30 people on the payroll at Turkey Fest.
Oh, yeah. That's our big one. We kind of treat it you know, as a vacation for everybody, and, you know, a job well done after the big busy season. So
just the amount of people in there that come through the booth, you got to have that many people. It's like a dang Bucky's in there.
Crazy. The first year I went to it 2 years ago is the first time with Boss, and we'll go again this year. Absolutely love it. It's a great time. But I, in my lifetime, have never been to any outdoor stow. I've been doing this over 30 years. Back when I first got it, that was the only way you could sell hunts, is you went to trade shows. So the Texas Trophy Hunters in Fort Worth used to have about 70 to 80,000 people come through 3 days. And it was bumper to bumper, just like that. But that's what it reminds me of. It's crazy, the amount of people. And me not being a turkey hunter the first time I went, I thought, how many freaking mouth calls do you have to sell to pay for your damn booth around here?
No doubt.
Yeah, I think, what did they say, 70, it was like 70,000 this year too, or something like that. It was a lot.
But that's what it reminded me of, was the Texas Trophy Hunters back when that's all you had could go to before the online sales and stuff. But it is crazy, the people that are there. I'm really interested to see, with Ducks Unlimited moving their show next spring to Memphis, I expect them to put on the same kind of event.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be incredible. The convention center, they just renovated it about a year ago. It is really nice. And I think it's going to be a great show.
So it used to be here,
it
right?
used to be in Memphis back in the day. I think it's going to be great. We're really looking forward to Delta Waterfowl too, here in, into July in Baton Rouge.
I think that's going to be
a big one.
Oh, it's going to be a good time. Last year in Little Rock was a great time. And a really good time. I really enjoyed that show. But Baton Rouge will be a good time.
Yeah.
They love some waterfowl hunting down in the bayou for sure.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talking about it down there, and just excited that an event like that's kind of coming down there. And I think they're gonna be fired up.
Mm-hmm.
It is crazy how many people y'all fit in that booth though. Like, I went by a couple times at Turkey, and like, it freaking shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
It's wild. if you like sit back and watch, man, there'll be people that come up and just like kind of wait to get in, and they don't end up going in because there's so many dang people in there. It's nuts.
How long does it take y'all to set that damn thing up? That thing, it's one of the most extravagant booths at all of these shows too.
Carter's got it down to a science now, so he can put it up pretty quick now.
Yeah, we can get that done in about 4 or 5 hours.
Still,
the key is being able to break it down to get your ass back to the house, because every show I've ever been to, I'm like, we got to figure out how to get our, because we used to take a booth with mounts and shit, and we'd have a double booth, wooden booth, and all this and I'd be like, God almighty. So we put it on rollers so we could get out, because I always wanted to be the first one out the door to get back home, first one to set up and first one to leave.
Yeah, we always make sure we get there about a day early just so we can be the first ones in. Because you start getting in there when everybody starts to set up last minute, and it's pretty hectic.
Yeah, one thing I learned from Jones is it's the after the show ends on Saturday, something like that. And most of the time you're like, man, we'll just get it in the morning. Like, let's just go, you know, have a night or whatever. If you get it done that night and get it taken care of, man, it's so much better. So breaking it down and then going out is a lot better.
That's like Dirk when we're all the Boss shows, which we were at all of them and stuff, is it's like, let's sell all this shit out so we don't have to carry this heavy. Because them shotgun shells are heavy. Yeah. You know, so we want to sell everything out so we don't have nothing to take home with us. And I told a kid, he's at Bass Classic. I said, listen, this show closes in an hour. He's going to be in a deal-making right now situation. And boy, Dirk was making some deals. So that's the time to hit Dirk up, is right there at the last hour.
Yeah.
It's a gamble, though, because there might not be anything left that last hour.
That's true.
So you might get a hell of a deal, but you also might get told,
if you're buying shotgun shells, you better order them pretty fast, because there is going to be a shotgun shell shortage this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a real deal.
Yeah. Derek was telling me that. So
the Department of Defense is getting all the powder.
Well, they're saving some now that we're not sending it to Israel no more. So they'll save a little bit of powder then, maybe.
Derek was telling us like how much gunpowder is in like one of those RPG rounds. And I'm going to butcher the numbers, but I want to say it's like 13 pounds or some shit like that.
15
pounds is in one of those.
Artillery, for every artillery, and Ukraine is shooting
it was a couple, it was like a couple
2,000 rounds a day or something of artillery.
So. And there's 13 pounds of gunpowder in one of these things, and they're shooting thousands of them. Like, you can make a lot of shotgun shells with 13 pounds of gunpowder.
Yeah, no doubt.
And they're shooting a couple thousands of those over there. So, like, that's where your shortage is.
Yeah.
Not to be the guy in the black powder business. He's making a lot of money right now.
Or your shells, I guess.
Yeah, get them right now. So how has the 2S wader, now explain what that is for people that don't know. It's two seams, basically.
Right. So like in the factory, just to explain it, this is how Jeff Jones explains it. So imagine a piece of cardboard, square piece of cardboard, and you cut it across, you cut it straight down, you kind of cut it diagonal. So there's six different pieces and you tape it all together. All right. So you got that. So in the factory, that's what they do. They cut out all those different pieces of material and they mechanically weld them together. Now what we've done is we've cut out the front of the wader and the back of the wader and just put it straight together. So there's only two seams going down the side. So really what it's doing is eliminating those contact points and those points of stress. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're bending over, when you're hopping in the boat, it's just really just making the wader just a little bit better than what it already was.
Cause that's where you give out first, right? At the seam. And if you got six of them versus two, the chances for a problem down the road reduce.
For sure. That's correct. Yep. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And are they still, I have not put any of these on. Are they still as comfortable as the original product?
It's the exact same wader. There's no, unless you really look at it up close and personal, there's no difference. And there's really no difference performance wise. You know, it's basically the same wader. It's just, just eliminating those small contact points. So.
And everybody's as excited about those as they have been the original wader?
Absolutely. Yep. Especially the solids. Goodness gracious. I mean, the solids are huge, and we're coming back out with the olive because everybody wanted the OG from day one. Bringing that back, we've got the brown coming back. Shattergrass, we're really fired up about too. Bringing that old, I like to say it's like putting your dad's old football jersey on. You know, that OG camo. We really, really like that. So.
What?
I've got some original Shattergrass stuff in the container back there that I had. Granddad. I'm old man.
I had a Shattergrass jacket when I was in my teens. I don't know if I got rid of it or I wish I could find it. But no, you're exactly right. Like, everybody gets all excited when something old comes back as new.
I've got an old Ducks Unlimited parka that's got the old DU camo pattern that they had the ducks and stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't
see that. Worth a fortune too. Worth a fortune too. All that old school stuff is crazy right now.
I've got a container full of old stuff, probably from the early 90s on. Because when I grew up hunting in the 80s and 70s, there wasn't much camouflage at all. I mean, it was that military camo was about it. They didn't really have anything good. And so the Ducks Unlimited pattern was one of the first ones that Cabela's had that was a little different. I bought everything. You had to buy everything from Cabela's or Bass Pro Shops. And that's where you got all that stuff. And then Bob Allen, do you remember, have you ever seen any of that old camo that's Bob Allen camo?
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff's cool.
I've got one of those too. I've got a jacket or vest in the back of it. It's funny though, as I've gotten older, my sizes have gotten bigger. I have never figured that out because all my old shits
can't figure that out.
All my
can
old
you?
Shits, XLs and larges, and I can't fit that shit no more. It looks like a fat guy in a small suit.
Can't figure out what happened.
No, your mom.
The solid colors. I mean, that's just. I was always a solid guy, so. When you guys like really started to lean into that, I was over the moon. Cause I'm not a camo guy. Like solids, cause you can wear it with more shit. It's more versatile. You just have to wear it out in the field.
Yeah.
Put on your solid vest and you can have a nice dinner with your wife if you want to do that.
That's right. Yeah, you started the buzz on the brown bibs and now, you know, we gotta bring the brown bibs out. So we're releasing those this year.
I felt bad about that.
The amount of screenshots that I got of you
is crazy.
When is this color coming? Yeah, that's why it's coming.
You weren't supposed to leak them out, were you?
Well, Jeff sent these bibs, and like He just said just no close-up shots is all that he said. Well, you know, I felt bad. I felt bad because, like, I kept seeing these screenshots, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, that's not – you're not supposed to see that.
Hey, at the end of the day, it wasn't bad at all. It's good.
Yeah, so. But I still felt bad. But
Vandy Shaver collection.
I didn't mean – it wasn't intentional. I wasn't trying to cause you guys a headache or anything, but I think that's what it ended up being.
No,
it's all good.
They don't want to send you nothing no more.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Can't send it to this fucking guy. He can't keep a secret for shit.
That's why I got the backpack and you didn't.
That's exactly right. Yeah, 100%. So what can you tell us about what's coming out this year? Anything cool that other people might not know about and you want to leak it here?
I would say you can tell your favorite, but I'll just say one of my favorites that's coming out.
Released,
so. Everything's we showed except everything one, off but. From at NWTF, but my personal favorite is the waxed goose down vest. It is going to be true goose down, waxed outside. We've got it in all the camos and solid. So that's probably my favorite. We've got something else coming that I can't say that's probably my second favorite, but I would say the wax down vest, and we've got a camp jacket. It's a Primaloft down coat that is just super lightweight, super packable. I wore it all year really with a vest over the top. You know, if you've worn our Primaloft jacket or our flyway jacket, it's basically the insulation inside of that just without the outside coating that the Primaloft coat has. So it's a super versatile, awesome piece. So
yeah, I'm probably going wax canvas sweater as my favorite.
A wax canvas sweater.
I saw that at NWTF. That thing does look
sweet. Yeah, the top hat's kind of that wax canvas material, and then it's, you know, sweater underneath it. And, man, it's one of the warmest pieces. It's honestly unbelievable. Like, I wore it one day. It was below freezing, like 29, something like that. And it was a little bit of breeze. And I just said, I'm going to wear this with a t-shirt underneath it. And I wore it and it was 100% fine. Now, I'm a little warm-blooded. You know, I get hot easily, so I may not be the best person to judge us off of. But it's pretty damn warm. So, and it's comfortable and just a cool little piece. So, I would say that and the vest are pretty close. But then, like you said, the piece that I can't really talk about yet, come around Stuttgart opening, I think. So
that's when we'll see this new product is Stuttgart opening, November?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That's going
to be on pins and needles.
That wax canvas vest.
A little limited piece there.
That'd be cool. That goose down wax vest, I can see your mom wearing them. I can see that the bougie soccer mom lady's wearing those.
Yeah.
And that's a good market to be in, the damn women that are going to buy that stuff.
100%. How much traveling did you guys get to do this last year, hunting wise?
Quite a bit.
Yeah, I did quite a bit.
We went to North Dakota. We were going to Canada. We had our mindset. We were driving up there, and well, Dylan was.
We do a little freelance trip every year.
The storm stopped us. So we didn't quite make it, and we stayed in North Dakota and hunted there and had great hunts. No complaints. And
it was good that we were kind of talking about, like, we go to Canada this year, go back to where we were. It was so good. I mean, it was a hell of an area.
Figured it out there at the end and got on some pretty good shoots. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Dylan, tell where he went, but I went up to Nebraska. Dylan and I did. Hunted there on the Platte. It was pretty good.
Went there and then went to Washington. That was a badass trip. We shot, it was 3-4 days of hunting, 4 days of hunting. We shot limits every day. I mean, it was, that's a different world up there. I will go back there for sure.
Did you shoot a bunch of widgeons?
I mean, 7 rounds. We didn't shoot many widgeons, man. It was straight mallards and we were just picking greenheads like every day. It was, and you could shoot dang 7 of them a piece up there. Right. So it was a hell of a trip there.
Is it all, but like,
we got all content coming, so you'll be able to see it all coming up.
Is it all like DIY stuff, or do you have people like in each state that you have a connection with?
Yeah, I got a buddy up there that we went to, and then Nebraska trip was with Angel Wings. So we went up there, know them guys real well. And then the freelance trip to North Dakota was just our, you know, us doing our own thing. So trying to kind of do it all. But I enjoy freelancing part of it.
Yeah.
I enjoy the chase. And I say I like a new area, but I like going back to an area that I know about and know what's going on. It just saves you a little time. But I like finding it and learning it and then, you know, being able to kill them. So
Did you have trouble getting on places in North Dakota? Because I hear it's getting harder and harder to get on places than it used to be.
Yeah, that's the only issue. Like I said, we're trying to decide if we go to Canada this year or North Dakota. We usually go to Canada. That's kind of the hiccup with it is the amount of people, you know, the differences between Canada and North Dakota is, you know, night and day. So we did run into a lot of people. It wasn't too bad as far as getting permission, but it's just the people there, you know, they're blowing them up and blowing feeds up and can't let them, you know, get comfy. So they're switching feeds all the time. And it's just kind of all that that comes with it. So birds are definitely there. So, no doubt.
I wonder if North Dakota is going to go to a deal like South Dakota eventually, because I know a lot of the locals there are getting kind of tired of all the traffic and stuff. I guess Kansas is going to cut down a lot on the out-of-state hunters right now. And I'm wondering if North Dakota is going to follow that same recipe here pretty quick.
North Dakota, I mean, they're, you got to think they're in peak harvest season when we're hunting. And if I was a farmer and eight different groups came up to me saying, I want to hunt your feed, I'd be like, no, like, leave me alone. I'm busy.
Yeah.
So I get it. I mean, I do.
And it just takes one guy to fuck it up for everybody else too. Got ruts in the field or something. And I hate to say this, but there's a good portion of hunters that are very disrespectful.
Oh, 100%.
Very, very disrespectful. I got my butt chewed out a couple of years ago here. We dove hunt on a place and some guys, he let another guy go hunt with his kids and some other people, and they left a bunch of trash and debris, and the guy chews my ass out about it. I sent the guy that works for me. We went and cleaned it up, and I was like, listen, this wasn't our stuff. He goes, I wondered about that. I said, no, it wasn't ours. I said, it's all cleaned up. But I wanted him to know that we're not the ones that left a freaking mess. And I have had guys leave messes before. Yeah. When dove season's over, I always send it. Waterfowl hunting, I don't ever worry about anything. The guides are there. But dove hunting, but it just takes one guy to leave a big trash mess, and a guy don't like that. And money's not important to people that have a lot of money, and a lot of these landowners got a lot of money, and they don't want to jack with you.
We ended up running into one group, and it was kind of – it's just frustrating. Like, you know, we had permission on this field, and it ended up being one that like wasn't posted. So obviously anybody can hunt it. And, you know, they came up to us and said, hey, you know, do you have permission? We said, yes. Well, we watched them drive down the road, pull into the guy's house, you know, go talk to him. And they ended up getting permission too. So then obviously we're just like, well, you know, what do we do here? Like, we've got eight, y'all have 12 or 10 or whatever they had. Like, how do you make that work? That's just unsafe at that point. Like, you don't know that group, what they're doing. And so we just kind of had to talk to them, and it almost come down to just like us leaving. I mean, they, you know, they're like, well, we'll talk about it. We'll discuss it with our group. And I'm like, man, what do we do here? And so you ended up working out, and they didn't come back, but
so you're telling,
we didn't know that morning. We didn't know what they were going to do till that morning. We're like, here we go. We'll see if they show up and they're hunting the other side of the field or what.
So this was the night before?
Yeah. Before.
What a bunch of assholes, though.
20,000 bucks. Like, you can't. What?
Hey, what a bunch of assholes, though. If I went up somewhere and some guys are sitting there and they said, we got permission to hunt here tomorrow, I'm not going to go and ask the landowner, hey, can we hunt there tomorrow? Oh, yeah, go right ahead. That's wrong. I don't give a crap who you are. You don't do that to people. We're not talking about an outfitter trying to outbid another outfitter, which I think outfitters don't help themselves. But to go and do that to another group of hunters that have permission is wrong. If you want to say, hey, can I go the next day? That's different. But you know some guys will be there. That's a dick move on my part. I would never do that to somebody else.
That's why it was frustrating is, you know, we were there and talked to them about it all, and they're still just like, we'll decide in the morning. See you here, maybe not.
What a horse is that?
I mean, it was 20,000 mallards going into this field. It was a little hard to, you know, drive away. I don't blame them for that. But at the same time, like, I mean, we would have just kept on driving if somebody was watching that field already. Like, you just move on and go find something else.
It's called being respectful. Or they should have went and got the field next to it. That's what I would have done. I'd have said, hey, let's try to cut the birds off where they get to them. Or if there's that many ducks flying and as quizzical as ducks are, if you got a good spread set up and you get by them, you're going to shoot some birds too.
But yeah, and there was like three or four fields around there that we'd been shooting all week. They were basically just hopping each field. I mean, once we shot them, they went to the field we were in before and it wasn't posted. That's all they had to do.
Yeah, that was a dick move on their part to do that crap. And then to be assholes, I've been around guys like, well, we don't know. We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. We might be here in the morning. We might not. Because that just fucks up y'all's evening. And they knew that. Like, I'm sure they knew they weren't going to be there. They're just like, oh, just fuck with these guys.
Yeah. That's why our outfitters, there's three outfitters that work that hunt in our area where we hunt at. And one of them's a really good friend of mine. We talk all the time. And then the other one I get along with. And we talk. We know where everybody's hunting, so there's no mix-ups, you know?
Yeah.
And even sometimes if we know we're in fields next to each other, we'll spread apart so we're not up each other's asses to help. And I just don't understand why other outfitters can't do that with each other. It should make life a lot easier. Because there's nothing worse than being a customer on a hunt, watching someone else, knowing that everything's screwed up because guys couldn't work together. You know, spread out where we can both kill birds. Don't be asses to each other. It's just not that. Yeah. It's not that hard in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outfitter did.
Yeah. Then you go to Canada and you don't have none of that. That's what's like. It makes you want to go to Canada and not have to deal with any of that stuff.
Well, hell, it happens up there sometimes too, though, but not much.
Sometimes, but usually it's like, okay, you got that field. Well, I can see another 10,000 bird feet up there. Yes. Okay.
I had an outfitter friend of mine ask me, are y'all going to have any outfitter programs or do y'all have an outfitters program?
Yeah, we do. It's, you know, it's a select few though. It's guys that we know and trust. So, you know, I would say bring them on, but we just got to make sure that it's somebody that we, you know does a good job. But we do have something going on there.
Okay.
Yeah. If there's anybody that wants to, you know, you can let them reach out to Dylan or I and,
he's a stand-up. He's a stand-up guy. Runs a good operation. This ain't no slapdick guy.
Yeah.
So I will have him get a hold of you. He runs a really good operation. He's a good friend of mine and someone I highly trust.
Yeah. What we don't want to do is just have a discount program,
right?
And then how quickly out of hand that can get.
Yes.
So that's why we've kind of handpicked ours, and
it's a small community for sure,
and adding every year. So
when y'all were in North Dakota, did that winter storm come down and like were y'all in shitty weather there too?
So I was driving and it was 2 days before we were supposed to kind of be up there, like, you know, unpacked and all that. Well, it was obviously hitting Canada first, and it was those gnarly temperatures of freezing and, you know, snow or whatever all that was. And so, we ended up saying, man, they're going to freeze out. And because I've seen it happen up there, been froze out and all the birds leave and they all load up in North Dakota. So that's what we did. We stopped, said, man, you change your flights. Like, you know, we had two groups kind of coming in, and change your flights to North Dakota, figure it out, and we're going to find some birds. And so that's what we did. I mean, we drove from the northwest corner across, you know, and found them in between. So that was a hell of a trip.
No shit. Y'all were in the northwest corner and just said, we got to find them?
Yeah, because I mean, I've hunted North Dakota a handful of times, and it's kind of been all different locations. And so I knew there was a good spot up there, went up there. It was like a ghost town. It was already kind of hitting up there. And then kind of just followed it all the way down, you know, looking at different spots. It took us 2 days to kind of find them. We ended up staying somewhere and then kept going. And it was like 12 inches of snow or something that they got, you know, in that North Dakota central range. And so it kind of just pushed them. We kind of figured follow that snow line. And yeah,
we hunted North Dakota for a couple of years, and this is how we found our place to go. I found a place that had lodging. That was our whole key. Find a place to stay.
That was another deal. Yeah. Yeah, that was another deal. There's not too many Airbnbs in North Dakota. Yeah. And so, you know, trying to find one the day before was that was actually a big issue. Was we're like, well, here's some birds, but we got to drive an hour and a half every day to get to them. And so, yeah, that lodging was definitely an issue.
Did y'all have to walk all y'all shit in with that much snow?
No, it's frozen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for frozen.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
So it was pretty easy. What, I mean, like, how many, you said you had eight guys with you?
I think we had f- four drove up, and then we have three. It was like seven. Yeah, seven in a camera or something every day.
Full limits?
We had, let's see, we were there 8 days, and we shot them good, I think, 5 or 6 days, you know, limits, wow. Mallard limits. They're kind of shooting ducks. So there was – the end of the trip kind of got weird. That's when it got real cold, and they kind of got weird on us, and the last couple of days weren't any good. But I mean, shoot, dang near every day up until then, we were shooting limits. So
yep. Yeah, you got to have, like, 2 days of good scouting in there. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Like, you can't just go up and expect – you can't drive up on a Monday and expect to have a burner on Tuesday.
Yeah. Luckily, we did. I mean, that's – we spent us 2 days just finding them, but then we found the area, and we found this little badass spot. Man, it had standing corn and stuff, and then, like, a little flooded area. And we saw a couple ducks going into it, and then we watched them just pour into it and finally figured out where the guy lived and stuff. And he didn't answer. We ended up leaving. Devlin signed a postcard, you know, a football postcard.
Player's card.
Yeah, and said, give us a call. And the guy ended up calling us back. And shoot, we shot that for, I think we shot it like 2 days in a row, shot a limit, went back the next day, shot a limit. And then we went somewhere else, and we're like, why did we just leave that? Like, it's a traffic spot. We went back and shot another limit in the snow. It was cool.
Did y'all kill any bandits?
We're just standing corn. It was standing corn with mowed, you know, strip mowed through it that was 20 yards across, and we were just hunkering down in corn. I mean, it was badass.
That's the way we hid in Canada. It was so easy to hide.
With St. Lawrence Outfitters up there in, you know.
In St. Lawrence?
Not New York, but.
Upstate New York, right north or across the border in Canada.
I've never hunted in standing corn before. It was the fucking cat's meow. You set out, and we were goose hunting there, but like you set out 5-6 dozen decoys, just plop your ass into the corn, and that's your hide for the day.
Yeah.
Not having to dick with a blind.
We were done
anything.
In 30 minutes both mornings, just bam, 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 every time. Did you shoot a lot of banded birds this year?
Not there. Shot a bunch of honkers, but not there. We didn't shoot. I don't think we shot one band up there.
Andy killed four banded birds the first week of season this year. Did you kill any more after that?
The one that you stole from me.
Listen to this. Listen.
Here we go.
Here we go. So Andy's on a peanut field, and he's like, hey, we got a goose down about 200 yards in the middle of the field, right from the pivot. Yeah. Gives me a direction. So I said, okay. So I'm in my truck. I'm binoculars. There it is. So I drive over to get it. And as I'm driving up, I said, hey, do you want this band on it? No, you can have it. That's exactly what he said. I throw the son of a bitch in the back of the truck, and I look over and be a son of a bitch. There's a damn band on it. I didn't even see it when I drove up.
You're just messing around when he said you want this band.
So then I took a picture of it, and I sent it to him. Earlier in the year, my oldest grandson, Andy's oldest boy, was hunting with him, and they shot a banded bird. So I said, are you going to give it to Reese? Andy's exact words about my grandson is, fuck him. He can kill his own birds. He ain't getting my band. That's what he said.
Fuck them kids.
Yeah, fuck them kids. So that's what I said. Fuck them kids. I'm not going to give him that band. I'm going to give it to my grandkids. You know, let them have that band. Anyways, you did get the band. I didn't keep the band. I don't care about having a band, but that's the first goose I've picked up in a long time
that was banded.
That was a speck.
Oh, nice.
But we killed, that was five, but we didn't kill the banded birds. A friend of mine told me this weekend he killed a banded whistling tree duck here a couple years ago.
No shit.
Yeah, and showed me the certificate. But we don't, because I guess he think I didn't believe him. He sent me the certificate and shot it out here a couple years ago.
Wow.
But we're starting to see more and more of them here. They're all over town now, and we used to not have them here.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, Jeff Farmer's son this year, they were hunting two separate parts of the farm. And Big Jeff called Little Jeff Farmer and said, hey, you know, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. He's like, well, I hope the next bird you kill that comes in is banded. Sure enough, it was a double banded reward.
Oh, shit.
The next duck. Yeah. Actually, while he was on the phone, Gus was bringing one back.
I don't know.
Or something like that. Yeah, it was crazy. They just spoke it into existence.
I have not seen a double banded mallard in years. We used to shoot them. When I was growing up in the 80s here, we'd shoot double banded mallards, and I've shot a couple of $100 reward bands, and I shot one with a buddy of mine probably 15 years ago, and that's the last double banded duck I've seen. We've shot a lot of used to shoot a lot of double banded geese, and they all had neck collars on them too. We don't hardly ever kill a neck collar down here, and we don't hardly ever kill double banded birds anymore.
Yeah, they've started not to do many reward bands.
What was the money on it? 10, 25, 50, or 100?
65 or something.
No, that's a weird number.
Might have been 100.
I think if they catch them the first time, they're 10, and then someone said they're 25, and if they get caught in the nets a third time, then they put a $100 reward band on, is what I was told. I have no idea. Someone's going to correct me on that, I'm sure.
Have y'all heard the Bud Light band?
The Bud Light deal? You know,
yeah, like have y'all heard about that before?
They did it a long time ago, but they had to.
$1 or something.
But they had to cut it away because they said it was against the law.
Oh.
But Bud Light did that, I want to say 15, 20 years ago, they did it, and it was $1 million, and they were putting $1 million band in each flyaway. But you had to be, you had to sign up before you shot it at a certain time before the season started. You had to do it. And I'm sure they took out an insurance policy because it's very rare it's going to happen anyways. But I think the feds got them vittle and said you can't do that because it's against the law or something. But they done away with it. But it was a Bud Light Ducks Unlimited thing, I think. Mm-hmm. And they were putting $1 million band on every. I don't know much about fishing, but I know there's some redfish that they've got some tags that are worth a lot of money that are out there too.
Yeah. I've heard that too.
I don't think you'll see me catch any of those
redfish.
I don't do much redfish.
No, I don't either. I've caught a few redfish, but nothing tagged at all. But I've shot a lot of ducks in my life over the years, especially when I was younger. And we had some years. The winter of 82 or 83 was really, really cold. And I can't remember which winter it was, but it was equal to that polar vortex we had in February a couple of years ago. But this one happened in November and December. And we shot a bunch of banded birds that year. We even shot some black ducks here, which is very rare. But we killed, I'm going to say we probably killed 10 or 15 different banded ducks. And that was just me, my dad, and my brother hunting when we were kids. But they were most all mallards and stuff. But just that one year we killed a bunch. But we used to kill a lot of banded geese here, and we don't hardly kill any banded geese. Like when I first got in business, we would kill a banded goose for every 50 to 70 birds we would kill a band. Then it got to be one for every 100. Now it's somewhere 500 to 1,000 is the average bird.
We would also get a lot of neck bands back in the day, too. We don't hardly see any neck collars anymore.
Yeah.
Mm. Which.
Yeah, those got targets on their
birds. Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense why they wouldn't do that as much anymore. Right?
Well, the central flyway also is so stable. I think if you go to certain areas, there's going to be shooting a lot more. Like, I'll see a guy take a picture and put it on the podcast page on Facebook, and it'll be. They kill 16 graders and they'll have 10 are banded. Well, they're all banded together. It's just a family at a park that was banded. We don't have those kind of birds here.
Yeah. Yeah. We shoot a lot in Missouri. It's we shot a pretty cool one this past year. It was a geo tracker, yellow tarsal with a geo tracker on it. That was pretty badass.
Did you get to keep the geo tracker? Or did they send you a replica?
Yeah, no, I've actually killed one before. And so my buddy killed that one. And he, they didn't send a replacement or anything.
We had, is it Will Greer? Is that his name? What's the guy's from 50 Ducks?
Well, you're putting me on the spot here. Greer Smith.
Greer Smith. I knew it was Greer. Greer Smith from 50 Ducks was on the podcast a couple of weeks or about a month or two ago. And a guy shot a shoveler with a backpack on it about 3 miles from my lodge. And we have all the fields around it, and I didn't know nothing about it, but he wouldn't give them back the actual backpack. He kept it.
Huh. Yeah, I know they usually, like, send a replacement that's, you know, looks just like it. It's not active or anything, but.
Yeah, they were going to do that with him, but he was just like, oh, I'm keeping it.
And this is a farm pond. This ain't even a pond that has ducks. I drive by this pond every day twice during duck season. I never seen a duck on it ever.
Like, that shovel was probably the only one on the fucking pond.
And the guy, who no telling who it
You're
is.
You're a little suspicious. Yeah, suspicious.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I just wouldn't send it back. Just played hardball with him. I'm keeping it. Yeah. And then he kept it so long. Yeah. So Greer was telling us that they're only you. If you don't get it back and charge it like right away, within a couple months, that thing's going to be dead and it's going to be worthless. So he kept it just long enough for it to be like, well, it's fucked. So enjoy it. But those things are expensive.
Yeah, no, they are for sure.
I can't remember what he was selling. Did you get a quill whenever you were with Angel Wings?
Yeah, a little baby one.
You did a good one.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was a good one, but it didn't have a whole bunch on it.
Really? I've seen some of the pictures that those guys post, and they're pretty birds.
Oh, yeah. They get a lot of them. Keaton's always sending me Snapchats and stuff of one, like, damn near every day, different one.
We've killed.
I think we ended up seeing that one, like, before scouting, and we ended up killing it.
Yeah.
We've killed.
Like, totally different on the river, you know, and it come out. Mm-hmm. We didn't expect it.
We've killed one in 33 years.
Yeah, wow. But it was a little goose. It wasn't a big guy.
Yeah, it was this little Richardson or Hutch. We got it mounted. It's a pretty bird, but that's the only one we've ever killed.
Yeah. Yeah, but those guys shoot them a lot. And I don't know. It's just a genetic mutation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just something fucked up in that bird?
Yeah, I think it's just a pigment, you know, something going on there. But
because they got like pink toenails too, don't they? Or some shit like that, I think.
Yeah, I think they're all different. I think some of them have weird feet, you know, got speckled on there, and I think they're all kind of different. Some white tips, you know, on their feathers. Some of them have stuff on their head. It's all kinds of stuff.
There's a beautiful one in Allen, Texas, right in the Texas in the Metroplex. I was at the Christmas 2 years ago, and my wife was in the polo store shopping, and I was sitting in the car because I don't like to shop, and a fucking flock of Canadas flew over. 8-10 foot over me, and one of them was a big old piebald, had a big old white circle on its chest and its wings. I was like, fuck, I follow where that son of a bitch is. That's a bird you get some vodka and bread to and shoot him and take him home. Beautiful bird. But right in the middle of the Metroplex.
I saw a speck. It was like more piebald than anything, and Stuttgart a couple years ago. And I went by, I was like, shit, I got my camera, pulled out my camera, took a picture, and some bitch banded. I mean, it was one of the coolest specks, birds I've ever seen, and then it had a band on too. It was like unreal.
I saw a speck here 2 years ago with a geo tracker on it, neck collar, right next to the road. And I drove by and I saw him, and I come by, I was gonna take a picture with my phone, and they flew up and I couldn't get him down. All I had was my iPhone anyways, but it's really cool when you see stuff like that and you're like, son of a bitch, that's a trophy right there.
Yep.
It will be for somebody. All right, guys. So we'll start wrapping up here. What next show for y'all is Delta? Is that right?
Yeah, we're going to Birmingham. We're going to the World Deer Expo. Try that show out this year. Heard it's a good one. And then Delta Waterfowl. And then I will hit the road for some roadshow stops. So we'll do some in the Mid-South, a few up north. So just some pop-up shops for people to come by and check the gear out and purchase it if they want. So
now y'all were at the Field and Stream thing last week, weren't y'all?
We were. Yeah. In Nashville. Talk about some rain and a lot of scout boot wearing. That was it. Mm-hmm. it was wild, but yeah, it was a good time. Set up next to Field and Stream and a whole bunch of people come to see Big Morgan Wallen. Mm-hmm. So
it's crazy. All these, everybody's like doing their own show now. It's real fun to see, and everybody's doing their own like spin on it. Like, I think y'all are the only one with a film festival, so that's cool that y'all have reached out and done that, or stepped out and done that.
We're gonna have about 50 people here November 18th, 19th, and 20th at the Lodge. Love for you to bring your pop up stuff and come here for those three days.
All right, for sure.
Jeff, these motherfuckers don't want to work out. They want to get away and enjoy a little bit. Well, Jeff, shoot a nice speckle belly.
You can hunt every morning and set your stuff up in the afternoon, or don't even just come. I don't care if you bring anything to sell or not. Just come. Love to have you at the lodge.
All right,
here it was going to be a nice, relaxing couple days, and you just turned it into fucking work, Jeff.
I think ride it off that way.
I'm used to it.
Yeah, poor guys. All right, guys. Well, listen, we look forward. We'll see you guys at Delta. Looking forward to that, and I can't wait to see this. Special garment that's coming out in November.
Hey, you gotta stop thinking about it, are you? Yeah,
my mind's racing on what it could be.
Yeah.
So
it'll be good. I'll let you down for sure.
Cool deal. We appreciate you guys coming on here and keep killing it out there. And we will see you guys shortly. Delta will be here before we know it.
That's right. That's right. Well, we appreciate you guys. Thank you all
so much.
Yep. Absolutely.
Hey, thank y'all. God bless y'all. Have a good time. Tell Jeff we said hello.
Take care. Do it. Talk to y'all soon.
Shingear.com. Thank you. Good guys.
They are.
Good company.
Amazing products. Amazing products. The bibs are what I wear every day, so, you know, it's the way to go.
And I'm going to look on this wall. Hookandgaff.com. I'm going to look and buy me a watch.
Getting you a watch now. Yep. Free plug.
All right. Thank y'all for listening to us. God bless y'all. Peace. Be safe. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Watch for deer.
podcast comes out today.
Go check out all of our amazing sponsors. Go check out Boss Shot Shells, MLR Graphics, Shin Gear, Dive Bomb Industries, Pacific Calls, Dirty.coffee, Looking Glass Podcast, Lucky Duck, Ducks Unlimited, Mallard Bay, Double T British Kennel, Temp Hill Farm, Alpha Outdoor Specialties, Stanford Outfitters, and Mossberg.